Thank you, Voices of Praise. That was very good. And I want to also welcome JT and his family here. Had a chance to meet with JT a couple of weeks ago and hear a lot more of his testimony. And it's really something how God has brought them to this place in their lives. Also in your bulletin, there is in the place of a church, there is a missionary family that's listed, and it's Seth Springs and his lovely family. And Seth and his family arrived in Detroit, Michigan a couple of weeks ago. He has been a Southeastern Seminary student, but his call is church planting, and he is in Detroit to get some training, but eventually he'll be actively involved in planting a new work in that city. Judy and I have a special place in our hearts for Seth and Taylor and their little girl. Seth is a member of Herman Baptist Church, where I pastored for the last 14 years before coming here. When I went to Herman Baptist Church, Seth was a little blonde-headed boy with curls, long blonde hair, and all the women said, "Isn't he cute?" He was in the third grade, and I had the privilege of seeing Seth grow up. He played football. He was a great athlete at Parkwood High School, but more than that, he announced his calling to ministry while he was still a teenager. And so I want, when you look at that name in that bulletin, I'm trying to give you a little personal view as to who they are. And this couple are dedicated to the Lord Jesus Christ and to his purpose and mission for them. Okay. Turn with me to chapter 12 of Exodus. We're going to be talking about the blood of Christ in the next four Sundays. And this particular Sunday is the necessity of the blood. If you'll stand with me in honor of the reading of the word, we'll look into verses 1 through 13. Now the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, "This month shall be your beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak to all the congregation of Israel, saying, 'On the tenth of this month, every man shall take for himself a lamb according to the house of his father, a lamb for a household. And if the household is too small for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next to his house take it according to the number of the persons. According to each man's need, you shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats. Now you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. Then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it at twilight, and they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and on the lintel of the house where they eat it. Then they shall eat the flesh on that night, roasted in fire with unleavened bread and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Do not eat it raw nor boiled at all with water, but roasted in fire, its head with its legs and its entrails. You shall let none of it remain until morning, and what remains of it until morning you shall burn with fire. And thus you shall eat it, with a belt on your waist, your sandals on your feet, your staff on your hand. So you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt on that night, and will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, will strike all the firstborn not only the firstborn of Egypt, but both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. Now the blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be on you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. Father, thank you for the precious blood that was shed for our souls, the precious blood of Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Of course, in the context that we're looking at this passage, this is at the end of the 10 plagues. The last plague is the death of the firstborn. And these plagues have been put on Egypt so that Pharaoh might let God's people go. And Pharaoh's heart continued to be hardened over and over, plague after plague. And so finally we come to the 10th plague. But God had to make a provision, because if the death angel was going to come through, the death angel was going to touch every house. And he was going to take the firstborn of every house, whether it was a human being or an animal. He was going to take the firstborn. There had to be some kind of protection for Israel. And God chose that protection to be the blood of the Lamb. And this is setting up things for our New Testament theology, setting up things for our very own salvation. And to me, it's one of the most beautiful passages in all the Old Testament, because it really brings out the purpose of the blood. There are those who say, oh, we don't preach that slaughterhouse religion. We don't talk about the blood of Christ in such a way being associated with our salvation. Well, if they want to call it slaughterhouse religion, let them do it. But it's not slaughterhouse religion. We don't go through a slaughterhouse. When we receive Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, He tenderly and sweetly enters into our hearts. Amen. You remember when you were saved? Everybody remembers when you were saved. Just say amen. Amen. You remember when you're at that moment, the blood of Christ touched you and made you clean. You know, they tell us that blood's pretty important to our human bodies. If we don't have blood, we can't live. In fact, the Bible says the life is in the blood. The blood carries oxygen, and some of you nurses or whomever are going to have to finish all that out. The blood does a lot of other things. It purifies, you know, I didn't do a lot of research into all that, but that's not my field. At any rate, the blood is important. The average person has between 1.2 and 1.5 gallons of blood. Think about a gallon and a half of water. Gallon and a half of blood. If we start to lose blood, especially if we start losing blood very quickly, it becomes a very dangerous situation, doesn't it? Somebody's applying a tourniquet. Somebody's applying pressure to a wound. Hopefully somebody's calling 911. Hopefully we're on the way to the hospital. It's serious. We can't lose very much blood or we'll die. So on the backdrop of all that, the significance and importance of the blood, and then God chooses that element to be the cleansing agent for our souls. Wonderful. The way God works things out is so good. But at the very heart of the Christian faith is a precious red substance, the blood of Jesus Christ, The sin-atoning death of Christ is remarkable for being at once most offensive to the world. You remember? You start talking about the blood of Christ to the world, they become offended. But not only offended to the world, but it's most treasured by the church. It's most amazing to a person's mind, and it's most stirring to the soul. When we were singing about the blood a little while ago, you all got stirred. When Baptist people sing about the blood, they can't be still. Even the most proper Baptist, you know, you might see him tapping his foot or going like this on the pew, keeping time to the music. The most proper Baptist will start coming out a little bit when he's singing about the blood. It stirs our soul, because that's how we came to know Christ, through that blood's cleansing. Now, Israel's dramatic deliverance from Egypt was so miraculous that God's people would often look back on this extraordinary event with astonishment. The crisis recorded in Exodus 12 resulted in a national deliverance for Israel, but national disaster for Egypt. Because for both nations, it was an unforgettable night of happenings. Great deliverance came for Israel. The judgments of God that came heavily on Egypt, killing all firstborn sons, passed over homes of the children of God. Israel called that night Passover, because God's angel of death passed over the homes of God's people. Can you imagine being a Jewish family and all of your sweet families inside, and you have painted the doorpost and lintels. You've covered that with blood as you were instructed to do so. And then you go in and listen, they were probably afraid, because outside there was screaming, there was moaning, there was crying, because people were dying all over. All that death going on right outside the door. And the little children were probably just cowered up in the corner or under their mama's dress tail, so to speak, and saying, "Mommy, mommy, mommy, what's going on?" That family, by faith, had to close those doors and wait. And then the death angel passed over. That's us, folks. We have been cleansed by the blood. And we're in a world where misery and agony and pain is all over the place. People are dying and going to hell. But for us, if we as individuals and we as whole families have received Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, the death angel passes over us. When we die, we're with the Lord. Unlike the unbelieving world, when they die, they're separated from God. Passover meant a great deal to Old and New Testament saints, including our Lord Jesus Christ, who faithfully observed this feast every year. The original Passover was both a day of judgment and a day of salvation. Exodus 12 shows how God sheltered his people and kept them secure from judgment. At the original Passover, God did far more than deliver Israel from Egypt. He taught them the way of salvation. The New Testament makes it clear that the Paschal Lamb of Passover is an image that points to Jesus Christ. John the Baptist said, "Behold the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world." John 1:29, The Apostle Paul said, Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep to the feast. 1 Corinthians 5, 7 and 8. And when Peter speaks of Christ's redeeming blood, he says that it is as the blood of a lamb without blemish or spot. 1 Peter 1:19. Christ is our Passover lamb. Nothing was more important for Israel than the lamb God provided, the blood of which sheltered them personally and experientially from death. And nothing is more necessary for us today than the precious blood of the lamb which shelters us from eternal death. So today we're going to look at four short points which amplify the necessity of Christ's atoning blood for us. In verses 3 to 6, first of all, the choosing of the lamb. They had to choose a lamb. The lamb had to meet certain standards. You see that in verse 5. It was a spotless lamb. In Leviticus 22, it says a blemish-free lamb was one that did not have a crooked nose, a broken hoof, or any scurvy on its skin. The New Testament tells us that Christ, our Passover lamb, is a Passover offering for the sins of the people. The lamb had to meet the needs of the people, verses 3 and 4. This meant two things. First of all, the lamb had to be killed as a substitute for the death of the people. Secondly, a second way the lamb's choice meets the people's need is by the way it was tested. And you can see that in verse 6 of our reading. The lamb had to prove under detailed scrutiny that it was without blemish. For 14 days, the family fed and cared for the lamb. Christ was under observation for 30 years. No one could find any blemish in him during those years. Pilate even said, I find no fault in him. No fault at all. The lamb had to be tested so that the people of God would be prepared for the feast. Each one of us must make sure that we are ready for judgment. Are we covered by the blood through salvation? If we are, then we're ready for judgment. We don't have to be afraid when death comes, because physical death will come to each of us unless we're called up in the rapture. And that's a whole nother great story. We must be able to sing this from the heart. None other lamb, none other name, none other hope in heaven or after sea, none other hiding place from guilt or shame, none beside thee, none beside thee. Do you realize Jesus is everything? Huh? You're supposed to say amen real loud. Do you realize Jesus is everything? Amen. There you go. There you go. Secondly, the sprinkling of the lamb's blood. Verse 7. This was a cause of ridicule from the unbelieving world. Can you imagine the people out there putting blood on their houses and the Egyptians come by and they say, you foolish person, why are you smearing blood on your house? That looks terrible. It's going to make it stink. Don't do that. But see, it required an act of faith to sprinkle the doorpost with blood, expecting deliverance for what was coming. The blood spoke in two directions. First of all, it spoke upward to God. Secondly, it spoke outward to men. The only thing that would hold the angel of death back from entering a home and killing the firstborn was the blood of a spotless lamb. This is the significance of Jesus' blood in the Bible. You've heard it said many times in the Word of God from Genesis through Revelation. There's a scarlet cord running through every book, through all 66 books. And that scarlet cord is representative of the blood of Christ. The blood of Christ is mentioned in the Old Testament as well as the New. And it is a subject of great weight. The blood also speaks to sinners. Verse 23 goes on to state, we didn't read that, but it says, while Egypt was experiencing the judgment of God, the people of God rested secure. So see, the blood spoke to the sinners. You know, you should have been covered. You should have been covered. Since all men are sinners and the wages of sin is death, there must be death in every home, either the death of the firstborn or the death of the slain lamb. And when these families would have this lamb for 14 days, they'd put it up and they'd feed it. Don't you think those children got close to that lamb? Don't you reckon most of those families named their lamb? Then it came time to present that lamb for their salvation. Blood is still necessary today for the forgiveness of sin. There are those who say there's no necessity for the blood to save you today. These are modern times. It is the way that God fulfills this wonderful vicarious sacrifice in Jesus. Isaiah 53:5. For he was wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities, and he had the chastisement of our peace put upon him. Jesus, he was scourged, he was spat upon, he was mocked. All matters of bad treatment came his way. Then they drove the nails into his flesh and hung him on a cross to leave him there to die. He did that for us. Number three, the eating of the lamb. Exodus 12 also provides us with details about how the lamb is to be eaten. In verse 6, the lamb must be sacrificed at the appointed time. The congregation of Israel had to kill the Passover lamb in the evening between 3 and 6 o'clock. Christ's death on the cross was at 3 o'clock. That is, he went to the cross at 3 o'clock. Then he died on that cross in a 3-hour span, and he was taken down before 6 o'clock. Christ's death on the cross fulfilled even that point from the Old Testament, because he was the perfect sacrificial lamb. Not a bone of the Passover lamb could be broken, 12:46. Later, the psalmist also prophesied that not one of Messiah's bones should be broken. And John 19:36 gives us the fulfillment of that very fact. The lamb must be eaten, verse 8. In relation to Christ, this speaks of our sanctification, our being set apart for holiness. This ties us in with the Lord's Supper, communion. The lamb was to be eaten with bitter herbs. This also led to their sanctification. It reminded God's people of the bitterness of their bondage in Egypt, so as to arouse gratitude in their hearts. It taught them self-denial by reminding them of the need for obedience in submitting their will to what was distasteful. The lamb was to be eaten with unleavened bread. It reminded them of their hasty departure. Unleavened bread was symbolic of the need for holiness because it was made of pure wheat, but no yeast. Yeast symbolized sin because of the way it grows and spreads. The blood of the Lamb speaks of Christ who saves us. The feast of the Lamb speaks of Christ in us to sanctify and strengthen us. And if you want to jot down John 6:55-57, you can read that. All of this is set forth before us every time we observe the Lord's Supper. And by the way, you're saying, when are we going to do Lord's Supper again? Anybody up here ask that? Anyhow, in a couple of weeks. We've got it on schedule. A couple of weeks. So during this series, we're talking about the blood. There's a little coming back to the Lord's Supper in each of them that you could relate. Another thing, the Lamb is to be available to all. Exodus 12:3. The blood of Christ is sufficient. This is what Matthew Henry said. The blood of Christ is sufficient for everyone who comes. It is sufficient for the need of 1,000 worlds. Isn't that powerful? The shed blood of Christ is not just enough, you know, for our world. Matthew Henry said, if it were possible for 1,000 worlds, with people inhabiting all those worlds, Christ's blood would be sufficient for all that. God never runs out of anything. Did you hear me? God never runs out of anything. You ask Him for something, He'll give it to you. He does not run out of that supply. It's not diminished. It's not used up. Finally, the following of the Lamb. Verse 11, they were to eat at supper time. Did you notice this? They were to eat at supper time, but be dressed as they would for breakfast. In other words, have their clothes on like they're ready to go out. They were prepared to leave. They were prepared to go. The entire time they were eating this lamb with the unleavened bread and bitter herbs, they were reminded they were pilgrims going to the promised land. Now here I'm going to bust your bubble for you. You know that nice new car you have? You can't take it to heaven. You know that nice house you live in? It's going to burn down. You know all those nice clothes you have? You can't take them to heaven. You know all that money you got? Nah, can't take it to heaven. Why do we put so much value in stuff of this world? Because it's not going to last. When we're talking about the blood of Christ, we're talking about spiritual things and eternal things. We're not talking about material wealth and possessions. Now, thankfully, God blesses us with those things that we need in this life to get by. I'm glad I have a roof over my head. But one day I'm not going to need that house because He says, I go away to prepare a place for you. Remember, in my house are many rooms, and I'm going to prepare a place for you. That's your big new house you got coming. Going to be a big new house? Yeah, I'll show you that one day. It's in the scriptures. The blood of Christ, so important. Also, God calls us to remember that our citizenship is not here, but in heaven. We are to set our affections on things above, on the heavenly city, which is our heavenly home. You ever want to go home? Do you just have days when you say, wouldn't it be good if today we could go home? And my preference would be the rapture because we could all go together. I've always thought it would be really neat if the rapture occurred while we were at church. We'd be all in a sanctuary and the little ones be back there in the nursery and poof! And we're going up and we see those babies coming right along too. It could happen that way. Now, I don't know if it would do any good to pray for it. God's got a set time already. We don't know what it is. but it's going to happen. But I guarantee you this, on the authority of God's word, you're going to go before the great tribulation. You're not going to stay back. Anybody that tells you different, you just tell them they're not so. That's just a nice way of putting that, right? You're not so. God is going to rapture us up. And I got a whole bunch of scripture that I could give to you in proof of that. After he raptures us up and we're in heaven, then the great tribulation will start here. So, again, be happy, be joyful. The Passover lamb stands at the end of one life and is the beginning of another. Another life that is new. God's goal was to deliver his children from the slavery in Egypt into a new life of being a pilgrim of faith. God would guide them. So it is with us. God calls us into his supper, to a life of new obedience, new trust, and new devotion, until today when the redeemed will forever sing in glory at the marriage feast of the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. That's going to be one of our songs. Shannon, you can lead that, can't you? Amen. Those are the kind of songs we'll be singing. And we're going to be so happy. We're going to be so rich. When I say rich, I mean rich in God's blessings. Going to have a new body. That sound pretty good? All you 50 and up? I saw somewhere this week, one of my friends posted on Facebook, she goes to another church. Maybe that's a problem. No. No, she asked the question. She said, all the stuff I've done in the past, sometimes I wish I could have a do-over. I wrote back to her. I fired it back. I said, you do get a do-over. It's called heaven. Amen. So whatever you got that you regret, or whatever you got that where you messed up, you know, just when those things happen, just say, I'm wrong. Forgive me. Let's restore our fellowship. Whatever has to be said. Because we're going to heaven one day and none of us will mess up anymore. That sounds pretty good to me. The application, the bread and the juice of the Lord's Supper. And in a couple of weeks when we do this, I want you to think of this. The bread and the juice of the Lord's Supper is like a foretaste of that infinite glory as we live on Christ and live for Christ. Then when we reach the marriage supper of the Lamb, we will enter into a glory that we have already begun to taste here below. See, that's what this life is about. We should be having a foretaste of heaven now. So, hey, we don't have time to get upset with other people. We don't have time to waste our time. We don't have time not to do God's will. We are supposed to be getting a foretaste of heaven right now. Because when you get to heaven and you hadn't got much of that foretaste, you're going to be shocked. You're really going to be surprised. Yeah. Be like the first time I drank Brazilian coffee in Brazil with no hot milk. Yeah. It almost took my head off. Yep. I asked the lady, I said, why didn't you put the hot milk in? I don't understand English. No. We get to heaven. We're going to be able to taste everything. that God has for us. Here in this life, right now, we ought to be enjoying this Christian life. We have been cleansed by the blood. We don't have to live in fear of judgment. We don't have to live in fear of retribution. God and us, we're together with Him. We are not His enemies. How is it in your life? Do you have some sin that you've not confessed, and you've just, for whatever reason, you've not confessed it, you've not put it under the blood? You're a believer, but you got that unconfessed sin. Today, during the invitation, I invite you, bring that to the Lord Jesus Christ. The blood that saved you will keep on cleansing you. That's what John says in 1 John. The blood that saves you will keep on cleansing. See, that's our sanctification, our life of sanctification, that we are continually being cleansed every day. But perhaps you're here today and you don't know Christ at all. You do not have a relationship with God. I'm going to ask you a couple of questions. Do you believe that Jesus is God? And if you believe that Jesus is God, well, do you believe that Jesus actually went to the cross and died for everyone's sins? So if you believe that He died for your sins, do you also believe that on the third day He rose from the dead? Well, if you believe that, the word is in your mouth. The confession of Christ as Savior and Lord, your personal Savior and Lord, that word is in your mouth. All you've got to do is say it from your heart. Believe on Him. Receive Him in faith. And He'll become your Savior. He really will. If God's tugging on your heartstring, you know, you can come forward and Someone will talk with you and pray with you and answer your questions. But if God, the Holy Spirit's tugging on you today, don't fight that. Don't put your knuckles out or your hands out here in the pew in front of you and squeeze the back of the pew till your knuckles turn white. Just when the singing starts, just come on down. And maybe if you got a friend with you or a family member, or maybe you don't know who it is, grab their hand and drag them down here too. They'll be your encourager. The blood of Christ. Aren't you thankful for the blood of Christ, church? Amen. Father, I thank You for the blood. And I realize that it's so necessary that the blood of Christ was shed for men, women, and children. And that the blood of Christ covers every sin of the past. Even the sins that we commit as believers, the blood keeps covering. Father, there may be someone here who thinks they did such a horrible sin that God would never forgive them. Father, I pray that this message has somehow communicated to them that there is no sin that is too bad to be covered by the blood. The blood will cover all sin. The blood will cover all people who come in faith. So, Lord, we leave this with You now as decisions are made, as lives are changed, hearts are transformed. Lord Jesus, thank You for dying at Calvary and coming back in the resurrection. Now You're seated with the Father at the right hand, making intercession for Your people. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Would you stand with me? Altar is open. I invite you to come.
Jesus paid it all. I hear the Savior say, "Thy strength." in me, thine all in all. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow.
Y'all be seated for just a minute. Come on up, y'all. Thank you. Well, God just continues to do wonderful things in our fellowship. And I have here Kaylin Elwood. Now, Kaylin has been a Christian for quite some time. But she was a part of the Methodist Church. So she's coming to us for membership as a candidate for baptism. So I need a motion. Second. And all those in favor say a big amen.
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 Thank you.
Thank you. It's good to get together in the same church, isn't it?
It is.
All right. And anything we can do for you, let us know. And I just encourage you, just use your spiritual gifts, get plugged in. And let the Lord use you here.
Sure will.
Amen, church?
Amen.
Amen. And we'll stay right there, and we'll let them come by and give you a hug. Okay. Do I need to do anything else? Shannon, say what you want to say, and then pray, okay?
All right. Let's close in a word of prayer today. Father, thank you for this morning. It is so good to be in your house, and we thank you for the blood of Jesus Christ. Lord, we should be overwhelmed with that this morning, of what you've done for us and how you sacrificed for us, the grace that you give us, Lord, how awesome that is. And we just praise you this morning. And Lord, I pray that again as we leave this place, that God, that it's not just something that we get excited about here. Lord, let this be on our heart even all this week. Let us share with others about what you've done in our lives. We thank you, Lord. We love you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.